Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's done. The 35, the 30, the 20. He's done. He's done. Touchdown, Washington Redskins. Woo-hoo.
Kick up. Kick his ball away.
It's good. It's good. It's good. Adam Vinatieri goes to 40. 8-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots.
Gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around. Throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio holds. I don't know how he did it. Dominique Parker's Cromartie doesn't know how he did it. But they roll touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion. Comes right. Back to throw Montana. Steps up. Throws. Touchdown.
Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Fred House, Mike, coming to you here on December 6th. Can you imagine? And, well, there you go. Week 13 went down this past weekend. We're heading into week 14, just 4 weeks now remaining in the NFL season. And for all intent and purpose, I mean, look, bottom line, we're talking playoffs. That's all we're talking. I mean, from this point forward, it feels like we've been doing that for the past better part of the past couple of weeks anyhow. But I've just proclaimed it from this point forward. I'm taking off the wraps, and that's all we're going to talk is playoffs. Take a look at just this past weekend in week 13. And again, this is pretty much what you can probably expect to see in some of the bigger marquee games as we go forward over the next number of weeks. And again, consider too, now we're going to start to see a lot more division play. So a lot more games are going to be ones that are going to have dramatic impact one way or another. You had nine teams last week who were winners in that. That's nine teams that were of playoff significance that turned out to be winners, six teams of playoff significance who actually lost. Now, I'm not even counting a couple of teams in there that automatically won because we knew they were going to automatically win, like the New England Patriots or the Dallas Cowboys. So right now at this point, better than half the league is involved in one way or another in conversation with regard to the playoffs. And that's what makes the last month of the NFL season so much fun. And trust me, I would venture a bet that at some point or another during the course of the next 90 minutes here tonight, we will touch on all 15 of the teams that I just got done mentioning, the nine that were winners and the six that lost. We'll mention their names at some point or another, guaranteed. We'll be taking a look, though, at probably what was, in my opinion, I think the best game of the entire weekend. It came early on Sunday, and that had to be the game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Falcons. Now, one would think, hey, this is an, you know, it's a, these two teams, they're not in the same division. They're not even in the same conference. Ah, yeah. But when it came right down to it, impacting both teams from the standpoint of their playoff positions inside their own division and then the way it ended up, just a mere one-point difference between Kansas City and Atlanta. Kansas City coming out on top of that one. We'll take a look at that game. You got to start wondering now with the Green Bay Packers. I mentioned it here last week. I'll bring it up again tonight. We're going to talk about it. I can guarantee it on Thursday night on our Friday Out Sports Show. I brought it up last week. If the Green Bay Packers were to win last week, as they did against Houston, would we begin to start talking about the Green Bay Packers in the playoff talks? And think about this one. They're going to be playing the Seattle Seahawks this weekend in Green Bay. So with one more win by the Packers, do they suddenly become very, very relevant again? And in light of the fact that Minnesota seems to be going in the opposite direction. How about that one? It was a week ago. We're sitting here talking about the Miami Dolphins, possible playoff contenders. Excuse me. Thanks to the Baltimore Ravens. Well, you can put that talk on the back burner at least for one week right now. Because at this point right now, the Miami Dolphins aren't in the mix if the season were to end today. And Baltimore got themselves a much-needed win. So did the Pittsburgh Steelers. They kept pace as well. So right now, we've got ourselves a tie again atop the AFC North. And who did the Steelers beat? Well, they beat the New York Giants. And I've been asking it all season long. I'll ask it again here this evening. That drops the New York Giants to 8-4, which is a real, really good-looking record on paper. But I don't know. I saw that game. Do the Giants really look like a legitimate 8-4 team? I guess some would say, well, Mike, they are an 8-4 team. Yeah, I know what it says on paper, but are they really? Tampa Bay Buccaneers, winners now of 4 in a row and one of the hottest teams in the NFL, probably along with the Detroit Lions. Well, they're in the playoff hunt now as well. So we'll be bringing their names up as well, along with a whole load of others. Are we going to bring your name up tonight? Well, only if you call in, 347-826-9964. Call in so we can bring your name up, perhaps maybe talk to you about whatever team you want to be bringing up. You want to talk about one of those 15 teams I might be talking about here this evening? 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room. Or if you want, you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. You can get me on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me over there. And I check my notifications all throughout the program. So there you go. There's a lively, lively agenda set up for you for this evening for the next hour plus. Let me get my co-host in here, Brandon. Best weeks. I know you love the playoffs, but I actually think the last 4 weeks of the season are the best weeks of football. I think the last 4 weeks of the season are better than the playoffs in some respects, because when you get to the playoffs, you have a very limited number of games. But right now, we still have, 16 games a weekend, and there are so many different configurations of what possibly could happen. As I just pointed out, 15 teams involved in wins or losses that, in one way or another, affected or could affect the playoffs. I like these last 4 weeks of the season the best.
Well, yeah, they're good, too. I mean, everything at the end's good. I mean, you could, in theory, say the playoffs start now. I mean, for a lot of these teams, I mean, it's do or die. I hate to use cliches, but that's the way it gets this time of year. If you're not, especially when you're playing like division games and against other playoff contenders, as we've seen, like the Falcons Chiefs game you brought up. I mean, it gets intense this time of year.
Yeah.
Game matters, that kind of thing.
No doubt about it. And we'll be taking a look at, we'll be bringing up a couple of games, well, hey, as I alluded to in the warm-up there, hey, Seattle and Green Bay this week. Oh boy, does that game matter? Certainly for Green Bay, Seattle at Green, playing, having to play in Green Bay. Who knows what the weather might be like? It's supposed to get very, very cold. this coming weekend. For all we know, we might be seeing snow this coming weekend. So that could be a really, really interesting game for Green Bay, and one that, as you just point out, every game matters. Boy, does that game matter to Green Bay with, as I pointed out, Minnesota going in the opposite direction. Right now, if the playoffs, if we were looking at the playoffs commencing as we are in our own fantasy league this coming weekend, probably for many fantasy leagues across the land. I know many, many fantasy leagues, their season ended last week, as ours did. If we were to look at if the playoffs were to be beginning this weekend, in the AFC, you would have the Raiders, the Patriots, the Ravens, and the Texans all in as division winners. Your wildcard teams would be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos. How does that lineup right there fare for you?
That's about what you'd expect. Those are all the good, you know, the best teams. I mean, it's odd to see two teams come out of the same, you know, division as wild cards, you know, with plus a division winner. But, you know, I think those all three teams from the West are better than, you know, all the teams in the South, maybe better than all the teams in the North. You know, I mean, I think New England's going to win theirs going away, obviously, at this point. So, you know. Oh, the team that's surprising me of all those that you just mentioned is the Baltimore Ravens, because, you know, they seem to be getting stronger, and, you know, Pittsburgh's keeping track. I mean, both these teams are winning. They're headed for a second game this year, I'm sure. It's probably coming up in the near future. But, you know, I thought Pittsburgh was going to win this going away when the season started. Then it kind of, you know, they all kind of had a little lull, and, you know, now Pittsburgh's starting to look okay, but the Ravens have looked even better, I think, at times. You know, they've been winning lots of games, and they don't look bad doing it. So, you know, I think it's going to be a dogfight for this division, you know, now. The West, I certainly don't think, is done. You know, the Raiders are probably, you know, in the best shape, you know, record-wise, but that doesn't mean, you know, a couple losses, you know, because I'm sure they have to play the Chiefs, and I'm not sure, but they may have to play the Broncos again. Matter of fact, I think they end the season with the Broncos. So, you know, it's not all that inconceivable for, you know, some of those teams to catch up because they play each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that could get interesting. I don't think that division's set in stone yet. I think Oakland probably has the best offense of all of them, but I think the Chiefs and Broncos have better defenses.
Yep. There's no doubt about that.
And I think, something tells – I have this feeling about the Chiefs right now. I don't know what it is, but I just have a feeling that they're – you know, that's probably going to be the team out of that division that's going to make the most noise in the playoffs, whether they win the division or go in as a wild card. I think they're going to make noise. You know, that's just my opinion anyway.
Now, you know, not to completely dismiss the AFC South.
Oh, I will. They all suck.
I hear you. The Indianapolis Colts did win last night against a really, really horrible looking Jets team.
How can you give that win any credence? Seriously. The Jets quit. I've never seen more green quitters on the field at the same time as we saw last night. That game was pathetic. The effort
really
on
was.
The side of the Jets was pathetic. The only thing I thought was really cool, and I didn't even notice this before about their new stadium, they have two sets of lights. There's I don't know if you noticed this or not, and I was going to point it out, and I forgot. The MetLife word was in Jets green, but when the Giants are there, it's blue. And the same for the lighting around the top of the stadium. I never noticed it before for some reason that they actually have that kind of flexibility to, you know, suit the lighting to their, you know, whichever team happens to be playing of their two home teams that, you know, play in that stadium. So I thought that was kind of cool.
goes to show you what kind of a game it was, folks, when we're paying more attention to
yep.
the lights and what's actually going on the field.
You and I were sitting here watching this game, and I think I made a comment. This game is over in the first quarter because,
yep.
you know, they had 14 points and were driving for the next touchdown, and the Jets just were absolutely terrible to the point where, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick got benched. Bryce Petty came in. He's been named the starter for the rest of the year. And get this, they're finally going to dress Hackenberg, and he could come in a situation if Bryce Petty gets injured. So, you know,
well, are they,
where does that leave Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Are they deactivating him?
That's the way it sounds to me. If they're dressing Hackenberg, that means that, you know, they're going to have – I guess that puts – I don't know if they're going to dress three quarterbacks or not.
Wow.
You know, most teams don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I can understand why, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. All right. Well,
but for some reason,
but...
I will say this, for some reason, there seems to be a reluctance on the Jets to play Hackenberg. I don't know why. Personally, you know, all the other quarterbacks in this class have done really well. I would like to see what he can do. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, and see, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know why you would waste a draft pick. And I don't care where that draft pick is. If you have absolutely no intention of utilizing the kid at all, what's the point of wasting the draft pick? I will say this. I'll tell you, John Gruden had some really – there were two or three times last night during last night's game, and maybe it was just because – As we've talked about here, it was that kind of a game where you had to find other things to discourse on because, I mean, the game wasn't providing you anything. There were a couple of times that Gruden went off on a number of little kind of editorial diatribes that I found very, very interesting. One was when he actually, I mean, he really went on a little editorial about how the CBA is actually hampering the development of young quarterbacks and how the CBA has got to be addressed and this has got to be fixed and there's not enough time to be developing young quarterbacks and young talent. That was one time. The second time was when he said, take a look at this Jets team where you've got essentially, I'm trying to think, you've got four quarterbacks. Yeah, Fitzpatrick, you have Geno Smith, who's out. Bryce Petty, who we saw last night, and as you point out, is now going to start for the last four games. And you got Christian Hackenberg. So you got four quarterbacks. And Gruden came out and said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if the Jets' future quarterback is on this team. Now, think about that one. When you got a team that's sitting there stacked with quarterbacks, and you got a guy like Gruden saying, I don't know if they've got a quarterback on this team that is, you know, the guy. I mean, that's really remarkable. I mean, what a waste of time and draft picks and all that. It blows me away. They drafted Bryce Petty the year before. It wasn't this past year. Because this past year was Christian Hackenberg, it was Bryce Petty the year before that. They've drafted two quarterbacks in 2 years in a row.
And Geno Smith hasn't been that far removed from
no.
college. He was only drafted maybe 4 or 5 years ago at this point, right? Or is it?
Well, he
would it
still,
might have even been three. It could be.
Still,
they could have three quarterbacks in a row they drafted.
Yeah, is he's still on his entry contract, isn't he?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and
so
he was a first-round pick, so it would have been a five-year deal. So he's either in year four or in year three, one of the two.
So the Jets, in many respects, are doing their best imitation of the Cleveland Browns in recent years when it comes to the quarterback position. But just really interesting observations there. But let me go back to this AFC South for a moment because, you know, trying to give them a little bit of a plug here for a moment. It's not inconceivable. I mean, look, you got three teams that are all tied at the top at 6-6. All right, which we still have four games remaining. So, you know, could you have an 8-8 team coming out of here? Well, of course you could. But which one is it going to be? I think in some respects you have to kind of, I don't know. I think
here's what I'll say. It don't matter. Whoever it is one and done. They're not even going to beat the first team. Because you're looking at what today they would play either Kansas City or Denver.
Right.
I don't
think
any team from that division is beaten either one of them straight up, even in their stadium. You know, I think those two teams are both far superior than anything in the South. And, you know, same almost – you'd almost have to say the same thing for you know, Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore would have a hard time. You know what I mean? I don't know that that would be, you know, even in Baltimore, I don't know that that would be, you know, either one of those teams would be a cakewalk. I could see both those teams upsetting whoever they play in the first week. I mean, and I'm not saying that to discount the South. I just don't think any of those teams are that good. I mean, we've seen a couple Houston games, and we were kind of unimpressed. The Colts looked great last night, but anybody's going to look great playing a team that's not even trying. I mean, the effort on the other side of that ball last night. I mean, you and I were talking about Revis, how he may not want to play. He doesn't look like he wants to play on the field. He's certainly not what he used to be. You know, he's 31, and I was reading, he's saying that, you know, he may be done. I heard a report that said somebody reported that if he could, he'd be done right now. But, you know, I guess he doesn't. He's always been a money guy, you know. Oh, he held out a couple times because, you know, got contracts renegotiated. He always wanted top dollar, so he's not going to leave at a time when it would cost him, you know, like repaying bonuses or anything. You know, I could see him forcing the team to cut him next year. In other words, he don't want to play, but he's not going to just retire. He's going to make them cut him so he don't have to pay him anything back. In other words, he's going to play so bad, they have no choice but to. You know what I mean? I would not be surprised.
He's going to have to make his buddy Woody Johnson do something he really, really doesn't want to do. God, Woody Johnson just loves this guy. Honest to God, seriously. You know, you mentioned 31, and you know, look, in football years, that's getting up there. But look, it's not for his position. He could still play another 2-3 years without any difficulty.
He could, but he's not as effective. I think that's the problem you're seeing right now.
Well, not as effective, or is it that he doesn't want to apply himself? Because I'm going to be perfectly blunt with you, Brandon.
Well,
what it appears to me. And
well, you can't. I think that's tough to say. You can't. You're basically trying to say, you know, what his intentions are.
Well, I'm going by past history too. This guy has always been the kind of guy, as you point out, you know, he likes his money. Well, that's all I've ever gotten the impression the guy has ever really been interested in. It's not so much about my personal performance. It's about the fact you guys need me. All right? They're going on about him last night. You know, oh, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I've always kind of felt the guy was just all about himself. All about himself. That's all it is. You know?
Well,
he's one
I
of
will
these,
say this. He probably no will be a Hall of Famer. I don't see him not making the Hall of Fame.
No.
I mean, some of the stuff he did, you know, when he was in his prime, I think he played long enough that, you know, that shouldn't be a factor. You know what I'm saying?
No, I would agree with you. And listen, if I were voting, I wouldn't make it a factor myself. But I think one of the reasons that I have kind of a taste in my mouth for the guy is because I've just always kind of looked at him as being a very selfish player. That's how I've always kind of viewed the guy. And it didn't matter, you know, whether he was playing for the Jets or your team. I mean,
well,
you know,
he only played for New England for 1 year. You know, he wasn't, you know, what's the word? He wasn't there for long. He was a very short timer when it came to that. So, you know, I think he's just, you know, like I said, he seems to like to hop to get the best contract, you know. Was he worth the kind of money he was being paid at the time? Probably not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't think one cornerback is worth, you know, 12, 13, 14 million a year like he was getting. I know the year played for my team, he pocketed 12 million for that 1 year.
Wow.
You know? And they had a, I think the way they structured it, they would have had to pay him even more than that to keep him for that second year. Because he did sign a 2 year deal, but it was obviously going to be a 1 year deal and move on kind of deal. Or they'd be a newer long-term deal, which never happened.
I don't know. I'm watching the game last night. There was one scene, you know, they showed the sideline and, defensive coach, there was a defensive coach there talking to, it looked like all the guys in the secondary, the Jets secondary. And Revis was off on the side of the bench. He was on the side of the bench and he wasn't even looking at the coach while the coach was actually, you know, sitting there, and coach had the pad out and he was flipping through pictures and, you know, he was going through things. Revis wasn't even looking at what the coach was doing. I mean, that's the kind of thing where I just get the impression from him that, you know, hey man, I don't even want to be here.
Yeah, you know? No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But here's the thing, you know, like I said, I don't think he's going to make it easy on the Jets. I don't think he'd make it easy on anybody. He's going to make them cut him because his salary numbers, he signed a contract not that long ago that was, you know, equivalent about of what he was making. So he's probably being what you would consider to be overpaid right now. I guarantee you he's still making at least $10 million, you know, a year. And I don't think his play even comes close to warranting that anymore.
I would agree.
So,
would agree.
You know, basically
I don't know
they're
if it ever did, but
it will force the Jets to make a decision. You know, and that's what he's going to do. And if they cut him, then he won't have to repay any signing bonuses. He won't have to, you know, he gets to keep all his money. And if for God forbid they did structure a deal where he had guaranteed money, they'll still be paying him. So I don't know. You know, I don't remember the ins and outs of his contract, but you know, like you know, we both pointed out, he's always been about the money.
Well, I will bet you this, Woody Johnson will do everything he possibly can. He will go and meet with him privately. He will try to cajole him. He will do whatever he possibly can to try to keep him for at least another year. That you wait and see. I will guarantee it. We'll never know for sure because that report will never come out necessarily, but
he'll agree and then magically end up on injured reserve. You know, 2 weeks into the season with a lame fake injury.
I wouldn't
put it past him.
See, even you were presenting the worst side of this guy.
You know what? I don't like a player who is that, you know, contract oriented. You know, that's the only important thing because, you know, we've seen. You know, and I always hate going back to my team that I, you know, my favorite team, but the Patriots, how many players have taken discounts to be on this team? I mean, starting with the top, Tom Brady. I mean, that's how you win. You don't win by having a guy who wants to be the highest paid at his position and nothing else is suitable. And, you know, that's just not, you know, that's not going to get you any rings. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, you know, that's why I you know, you said about a bad taste. Yeah, he definitely leaves a bad taste in your mouth. I don't know. nothing about him, you know, resonates, you know, anything good as far as I'm concerned. I think he's a bit overrated for all the money he's made. You know, I'm not going to say he wasn't, you know, good in a Pro Bowl caliber, you know, quarterback, and he made, you know, lots of plays, and he was untouchable for many years. I mean, that's how they got the Revis Island thing, but
yep.
His island happens to be submerged underwater at the moment. So, yeah, the tide came in, as they say. And I ain't talking about the Crimson Tide. So he's, you know, I think we're seeing the last of him. And that performance last night, you know, you're pretty much, you know, ready for it. You know what I mean?
Yep. All right, that's the AFC. Over in the NFC, if the playoffs, if the season were to end today, you've got the Cowboys, the Seahawks, Lions, and Falcons all in as division leaders. The Giants and the Buccaneers are your wild card teams this week. So in there, no Minnesota Vikings, no Green Bay Packers, you know, no New York Giants. Oh, no, wait a minute. What did I say? Giants are in, right? Giants?
Yeah.
Giants. Okay. So the Giants are there, but the Washington Redskins are not. So
I think you can pretty much, in my book, you can cross Minnesota and Green Bay off. I think they're done. I just don't think they have – Well, they're certainly done for the division. The Lions have a two-game lead right now, and they're playing – Their play doesn't show any signs of them giving up two games. You know, and looking across the league, you know, technically the Redskins are ahead of both the Green Bay Packers and the Vikings because of that tie. So
right.
Not only you have the Giants, you got, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the way up. I think the Falcons are going to start to fall off. And I think the, you know, the Seahawks are clearly going to win the West. That team's coming on so strong, and you know they look, you know, Russell Wilson's healthy, and look out, here they come. You know, I think Tampa Bay, you know, like you had pointed out, they're on a 4-game winning streak. So is, you know, Detroit. So those are probably the two hottest teams in the NFC, you know, other than the Cowboys. I mean, you know, the Cowboys haven't lost since week one, but you know, as far as, you know, momentum swings, they're looking good. And, you know, all of a sudden now the Washington's the one that looks like they're kind of down.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just don't see, I don't know what's wrong with Green Bay, but clearly something's not right. And, you know, we've talked about the Vikings, you know, and their coaching, you know, front office issues, you know, with, you know, North Turner up and leaving and, the head coach calling out the team. And I think that's pretty much done there because of that. I think Green Bay will end up finishing better than the Vikings when it's all said and done. I just don't know if they have enough to make a wild card. I certainly don't think they have enough to overtake the Lions at this point.
Well, I will say this, of the Packers' remaining games, this week is the turning week right now. They gotta beat Seattle at home.
I think that's a tall order right now for that.
Well, as I pointed out, they could have weather on their side because you know, as if it gets brutally cold, and or if you see precipitation, which is very very possible in both cases.
Well, Seattle plays in the rain all the time.
Sure, but yeah, but we're talking Green Bay cold here.
The Pacific Northwest, where the Seattle Seahawks play, is no picnic. You know, it's cold and damp and wet up there, you know, all the time. Maybe not as snowy as Green Bay, but very similar conditions when it comes right down to it. I don't think that's going to be an issue for the Seahawks. I'll be honest with you. I don't think this matchup gives the Green Bay Packers that much of an edge, you know, based on the weather and conditions. I think the one thing that would save Green Bay is if James Starks keeps getting healthier, they work Kristen Michael in and get halfway decent running game and get some balance in the offense. You know, maybe, you know, they can resurrect it, but I don't know. The Seattle defense is going to be a little, suspect this week. I mean, you had a couple key players go down. Earl Thomas go down for what may be his career, if you take him seriously at what he's saying. You know, so, you know, it might be, it may work out well for the Packers, but, you know, even if they do win, you know, I just don't know. Look, the way I'm looking at it right now, that you have pointed out, the Giants are in and the Buccaneers would be in. I think right now I'd have to give the edge to both of those teams over Green Bay. Even though the Giants don't thrill me,
yeah,
I think they're more consistent than the Packers. And Washington is technically ahead of them. And if they get, you know, things straightened back out like they were a couple of weeks ago, you know, they could be right back in it, especially because of that half game, you know, with the tie thing. So, you know, I think that's just a uphill battle for Green Bay. There's basically three teams ahead of them they got to beat. And right now the standings are actually showing the Vikings ahead of them. So that would be four. So, you know, I think that's a pretty tall order. I mean, granted, there's four games left, but, you know, it's not that easy to make up a lot in football. You know what I mean?
The schedule for Green Bay could, once they get past this week, could benefit them if they were to get on a run. As
sure.
I pointed out, they play Seattle this week. They have to go to Chicago the week after, so they'll be in Chicago to play the Bears. They then host the Vikings, who, as I point out, they're going the opposite direction. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't necessarily see anything from the Vikings that indicates to me that they're going to turn that around. And they close out the season in Detroit. Now, that would depend on what Detroit would be doing that week. If, in fact, they have the division locked up, would they, in fact, be resting players? So that becomes a question mark.
Everything I'm seeing, the trend of resting seemingly is going away. I've seen no less than three or four teams, you know, today come out and said we ain't resting anybody. You know, and it's just a matter of, you know, I think we've seen from past history, you know, Indianapolis was very notorious. You know, because they'd locked the division up, you know, during the Peyton Manning era with Tony Dungy. And, you know, they'd rest everybody and then they'd come out in week one of the playoffs and lay an egg because they were flat. And I think a lot of teams have learned from that. And, you know, the way they rest a starter anymore is, okay, if we got the game in control, you can sit from, like, the end of the third quarter on. That's the rest. They, you know, they're still playing for the most part. So I just don't see, you know, I don't see anybody really resting anybody. I mean, do you see Dallas doing it? Boy, wouldn't that create a can of worms if they'd rest Dak Prescott
for the final game?
And Bruno comes in and what, you see them resting him?
In fact, there's already been talk of it down apparently amongst Dallas media and what have you. They're already surmising that at some point you're going to see Dallas start to go to second series. They've locked up a playoff spot. They haven't locked up the division, but they have. They're the only team so far in the NFL that has clinched a playoff spot. So
you're going to see a lot more added to that category this week, I think.
Well, I would suspect it looks to me like New England could clinch their division this week if they were to win and Miami lost. If they win and Miami loses, they'll clinch their division.
Yeah, but I think you'll see teams like the Patriots, the Raiders, if they get some wins, they'll be like Dallas is now, where they're guaranteed a playoff berth. No more, no less. In other words, they're not going to have any divisions locked up necessarily or home field throughout. None of that's going to be set in stone yet. But I think you'll see some more teams that a playoff berth this upcoming week. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Actually, Seattle, if you look at that, they win and, you know, another Cardinal loss, and that's probably done. You know, that division's done. So then not only would they clinch the playoffs, but they could clinch their division.
They could clinch their division, right. Yep.
Yeah, so.
They're three games. They've got three games right now ahead of Arizona.
Yeah, so You know, I think you're going to see a lot more teams. Maybe, you know, as many as three, maybe four, you know, that I'm not going to say they're going to be anything set in stone, but they'll be like Dallas where they're in the playoffs. Just, you know, to be determined where seeding falls.
One other, before we get off the NFC, Tampa Bay and Atlanta right now are tied at the top of that division.
Yep.
You had made the comment when you were just talking about it. You said you kind of thought Tampa, well, maybe what you meant was Tampa's on their way up. Atlanta seems to be, I don't know, are they dropping back? I don't know if I would necessarily say they're dropping back. I mean, they only lost the game to the Chiefs by 1 point, so they played them
up. Yeah, but if you remember a few weeks ago, they were handily in front of this division. So,
yeah
the Buccaneers have a four-game winning streak. In that four games, the Falcons have probably dropped two or three, just not in a row. So, you know, I think that you know, the writing's on the wall, I think, in that division. You know, late momentum, and we've seen end-of-season disasters for Matt Ryan before. You know, and even at that game, you know, he was nonchalant about it at the post-game, you know, press conference and shrugging it off as a, you know, that kind of thing happens, you know, on the conversion that went the other way and basically decided the game. You know, he kind of just shrugged it off as, oh, yeah, that was a bad throw. You know, it cost us the game. You know, I don't like his attitude when it comes to, you know, he comes off as just not caring, you know. Didn't seem all distraught like you'd see other players who, you know, threw a, you know, a game-changing interception. I don't know. I just don't – I don't like what I've seen from Matt Ryan at the seasons before, you know, previously. And, you know, I'm still seeing the same, you know, unimpressed kind of thing from Matt Ryan. And you know, we've talked at nauseam this year how bad that defense is. So, you know, I think Tampa Bay is just an all-around better football team. And you know, Jameis Winston's second-year quarterback, so, you know, he has nowhere to go but up from this point, in my opinion. I think, you know, Tampa's definitely a team on the right – heading the right way.
Well, let's see. It's interesting. Atlanta and Tampa Bay right now tied at the top of the NFC South with a 7-5 record. Now,
yep.
Atlanta's remaining games. Atlanta this week will be in Los Angeles to play the Rams. They then host the 49ers. They then go to Carolina to play the Panthers on Christmas Eve. And on New Year's Day, they close out the season hosting the New Orleans Saints. That's a schedule, in my opinion, that would favor Atlanta. Now, Tampa Bay schedule. They are hosting this week. They're hosting the Saints. They go on the road to play the Cowboys. Then they are on the road Christmas Eve in New Orleans, and they close out the season hosting the Carolina Panthers.
That's a tougher. I think they have a tougher remaining schedule.
They got two games. They got two games and four against the Saints, and actually two and three because they're going to play the Saints this weekend, and they're going to turn around in 2 weeks and play them on the 24th.
And wasn't Dallas in there somewhere?
Yep, you got Dallas on the 18th.
That's a tough schedule. So, you know, you almost got to, you know, based on the schedule, you almost got to, you know, I probably have to rethink my position there on Atlanta, but, you know, to be determined yet, I guess. I still think, you know, the Buccaneers are the better team.
Yeah, you might be right, though. You'd have to lean. I think you have to lean in favor of giving the schedule advantage right now to Atlanta. That's where I think I would go with that one. Yep.
We'll just have to see how it plays out.
Anyhow, yep, interesting. See, that's why these games last 4 weeks, I'll tell you. The Saints
are really not all that. They got stuffed, you know, in their own house by Detroit last week. And Tampa Bay kind of looks a lot like, you know, the same kind of team as Detroit is right now. So if those two Saint games end up as losses, you know, for the Saints and wins for the Buccaneers, Dallas, they may lose. I think they could end up, did the Falcons and Buccaneers to play? Was that still on there or no?
I'm sorry, the who?
When you went over the schedule, did the Falcons and Buccaneers play each other again?
No.
So they're done?
Nope. Yep.
Okay. And it's probably all the, the games against the Saints. They probably had a weird scheduling thing going on there.
Yeah, I'm just looking. They played each other week one. Buccaneers won that game. And then when did they play again? They played November 3rd, and the Falcons won that one. So they split. But all right, the Saints, as we know. The Saints can put up some numbers. Offensively, they can put up the numbers. But, you know, like Atlanta, they're a team that just doesn't have any defense to stop anybody. So that's the big – well, one of the big problems anyhow with the New Orleans Saints anyhow. But we've got some interesting games and coming up for this weekend. I'll be putting out the – here shortly after the show for – the games that we probably should be taking a look at on Thursday night for our picks of the week. I think you have to go with the Thursday night's matchup of the Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs. That has to be in there. I think Seattle and Green Bay has to be in there. We got the Cowboys and the Giants on Sunday night. I think New England and Baltimore next Monday night could be interesting.
Yes, I agree. All those games could be interesting.
That's Baltimore needs that one. Now, Baltimore is really, Baltimore is going to go into New England. They got to go into New England and find a way to win that game. Oh, man alive. You know, one might sit back and say, well, okay, this is Pittsburgh's week to break that all up at the top. And Pittsburgh just happens to be playing Buffalo in Buffalo. But I'll be putting the list out after the show at some point for what we should probably be taking a look at.
I think we definitely should lean towards games that have playoff implications. Whether or not the lines are tight. I know we like to try to – all of us kind of like to stick tight to the tighter lines because – we don't usually pick against the spread or anything. We usually go heads up. But, you know, I think any game, especially where two of them, you know, like the Patriots and Ravens and Cowboys and Giants, I'm sure those two lines are not going to be super, super tight, but they have major playoff implications. So, I think we need to, at the very least, point that out kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yep. I would agree with you. I'm just looking to see what teams that kind of encompasses here.
Well, at least those two games. I mean, you had said Buffalo.
New England, Baltimore,
and Dallas and New York.
Dallas Giants.
Those two games right there. Seattle, Green Bay, you could say that. Yeah, you could probably, and that's also going to be one that the line's probably going to be heavy in favor of, you know, Seattle, even though it isn't in Green Bay. I can't imagine that would be a super, super tight line. It's
two
probably
and a
going
half.
To be what?
Two
really,
and a
that's
half.
All.
Two and a half.
I would have said
Seattle.
4 to 5. I would have said
two
4 to
half.
5.
Oakland, Kansas City. I think there's one right there. That's got to be in there. And that's a Thursday night game. So 2 weeks in a row now, we're getting pretty good Thursday night games.
I think you just had our four picks of the week right there.
I think so. I have a. I think so too. I mean, I'm looking at the list. I can't. I'm having a hard time with many others. I'm going to be honest with you.
And any others that would be close are probably unimportant, insignificant games that we don't really shouldn't even need to bother with.
Tennessee and Denver.
I don't think that has more significant. Yeah, but I don't think that has more. I think the Seattle Green Bay game is probably more compelling.
Denver. Tennessee is a 1-point favorite at home against Denver.
Hmm.
1-point favorite at home against Denver.
What other game do we kick out, though, for that?
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
I think all the other ones, you know, I think all the other ones have more because when it comes right down to it, Tennessee, whether they make the playoffs or not, or ain't going anywhere in the playoffs. And Denver's going to probably win that game, even though Tennessee's favored by a point. I think Denver wins the game because, you know, they can't afford to lose a game right now with, you know, the battle they're in. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm not giving enough credit to the AFC South, but yeah, you know, that's just kind of the way to me on the surface anyway.
We could always make the decision to go at the dog game of the week, which would be the New York Jets at the San Francisco 49ers. There's your dog game.
Who in the hell wants to talk about that game?
There's your dog game of the week right there.
If that game went to overtime, I probably still wouldn't turn to it.
Oh, my God. You know, just stick a needle in my eye. Seriously.
that's what I said. You know, when we watch games at the frat houses, the 1 o'clock games are getting over. You know, we try to watch all the close ones, and if it goes to overtime, suddenly we're watching it. I don't think that game finds a way on unless, you know, there's nothing else on. I don't know if it's an early or a late game. Probably depends where it is, you know, who's the home team. But, yeah, I don't see any reason to even turn that game on, to be honest. And there ain't many games I'll say that about.
Interesting stuff. All right. Looks like there was a little bit of a flex movement on time anyhow. It looks like the Eagles game was originally scheduled. Was that originally scheduled for 4:25? Because I now notice that
flex at the one.
I now notice that New Orleans and Tampa Bay are at 4:25. So that's probably a national game.
Yeah,
New Orleans Tampa Bay is probably that's probably what they did. Yeah, you're probably right. They switched those. So New Orleans and Tampa Bay is probably the Fox national game. All right. Anyhow. All right. Well, there you go. If anybody wants to jump in with us here for the last 35 minutes or so, don't hesitate. 347-826-9964 is how you can get a hold of us here. We've just run through both conferences and you know what the playoffs would look like if the season ended today. We'll probably end up doing that again exactly the same way next week again. Thought we're probably what we do take a look at a couple of games that took place this past weekend. Hey, let's start it off though, Brandon, with that Kansas City Chiefs and Atlanta Falcons game, which we were taking in a good portion of that here at Frat House Sports. Boy, oh boy, I mean, you certainly had its share of offense. Let's see here. Matt Ryan, 22 of 34 for 297 yards. He had a touchdown. Alex Smith, 21 of 25, 270 yards and a touchdown. Atlanta had 128 yards on the ground. Kansas City had 123 yards on the ground. We had a defensive touchdown from Kansas City. I mean, you had a little bit of everything in this one. Did we have a kickoff or a punt return in this one as well? Because, I mean,
we had a blocked extra point that went back the other way for 2 points to end it. So, yeah, that was special teams.
Yep.
That's basically the end of the game.
Game had a little bit of everything in it. I had picked the Falcons to win it, and they came up short by 1 point. 29-28 is how that one ended. I don't know. Good game. I mean, it was a good game. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
No defense, definitely, really, on the part of Atlanta, as we well know.
Well, the scores are close enough. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, point at either defense. And as you were going by the stats there, I noticed it was very even on the yardage, you know, from both sides. Both quarterbacks threw in the 270s. They both had 120-some rushing yards. So, you know, I think it was a fairly even back-and-forth game that, you know, kind of deserved end on a point, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, it kind of makes sense. And you know, really, this is probably one of the lower outputs for the Falcons defense. In other words, you know, 29 is, you know, that's probably one of the few times they were, you know, not in the 30s or higher.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as you said, it was a very competitive and, you know, interesting game to watch.
Yep. Total yards, 389 for Kansas City, 418 for Atlanta. Time of possession was close.
Yeah, 28
minutes for Kansas City. 32 minutes for Atlanta. Stat, though, that was completely out of whack, Brandon. How about penalties for Kansas City? 13 for 128 yards. Five penalties for Atlanta for 30. Boy, oh, boy. Andy must not be digging that too much. I would venture a bet.
Andy's teams, though, have always had problems with penalties, and so does his protege, as you scream every week at the TV, you know. Doug Peterson and the Eagles have a ton of penalty problems. I don't know. Maybe that's not enough discipline being ensued in the team from the head coaching on down. I don't know. But we've seen Andy Reid teams, you know, struggle with penalties before.
And dumb ones at that. I mean, ones that you just shouldn't take.
13 penalties in a game is just unacceptable.
Oof.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Anything over, like, you know, really, you know, five or six is probably, I would imagine, about average per game, maybe seven. You know, so you'd want to be on the underside of that. Obviously, you don't want to have you'd like to have no penalties, but, you know, I think throughout the course of a game, sometimes it's just unavoidable. In the flow of the game, but I think you try to keep your mistakes to a minimum, and 13 penalties isn't trying to go a minimum.
When you start hitting three digits in yardage against you on penalties,
that's bad.
I gotta call foul on you. I mean, there's something wrong with that team. There's no way you should be getting 100+ yards of penalties.
They managed to get that and still win, so.
I know. But I'll tell you right now, on my teams, I don't forgive that. I do not forgive that. That, to me, that's a demarcation point. That's a demarcation point you do not want to cross with me. Do not go 100 yards in penalties, period. That's my policy.
I hear you. That's a good one too. I mean, it's that's the length of the field right there.
Exactly. And that's exactly how I view it too. I look at yardage with regard to penalty. You get 100 over 100 yards in penalties, you've just given away 7 points. That's the way I see it. All right. We've been talking
probably
about the Green
more
Bay
in reality though. You know, when you're given a 13 penalties for 130 yards, that's probably – I guarantee you there was more than a touchdown generated on drives that some of those penalties occurred on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they probably, you got to think some of them probably extended drives, you know, for the team that shouldn't have, you know, done and, you know, led maybe a field goal, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. You're not, they need to clean that up because I think the Chiefs are a better team than that. And you can't have that and win playoff games. Not like that. Not that bad.
All right, let's go over and take a look at the – real quick, we'll take a look at the Green Bay Packers and the Houston Texans. And, okay, as I'm hearing from you so far, you're not thinking that the Green Bay Packers really have much of a chance of coming back at all. I still say that if in fact, they were to find a way to win this weekend, I think they could be right back in it. Green Bay went 6-6. Houston dropped to 6-6 as a result of this game. Aaron Rodgers looked real good the other day. 20 of 30 for 209 yards, two touchdowns, and a 108.9 passer rating. We have criticized the Green Bay ground game, but somehow or another, they managed to get one going by committee the other day, Brandon. 109 yards on the ground. From mix it all up. They mixed it all up. Ty Montgomery, Jeff Janis. For God's sake, Aaron Rodgers had 16 yards himself. He scrambled quite a few times.
Yep.
Over on Houston's side, Brock Osweiler was 22 of 35, 202 yards, two touchdowns himself. And they're starting to get a ground game by committee going as well. It's about time. They're going to need one if they want to make a push for the playoffs. I'm telling you, I think, you know, Green Bay had to win this game. This was a game, I said it last week, they had to win against Houston. I'm just looking down the list from last week. Because we didn't have this game on our list. I don't remember whether Green Bay was favored or not. Green Bay actually was favored in this game by 6.5. So they just made, they just covered it. This was a game, though, I thought they had to win. If they win it, they still have a chance at being playoff relevant. This was a good performance, great performance by Aaron Rodgers. Again, this was one we paid a good deal of attention to this one because we had fantasy. We had people here with fantasy interest in it.
Absolutely. It was a fun game, too, because it snowed. You know, snow games are – I always find snow games entertaining. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I like football games in the snow. Just
yeah,
adds a little something to it, you know.
I like them. I like them more in college for some reason. I really love it when it snows in the college games. You know, that snowstorm like we saw a couple of years ago with the Eagles game. I could have done without all that much snow. That was just ridiculous. That was ridiculous, and all those yards that McCoy picked up in that game. That was just stupid. But that was a bit too much. You couldn't see the field, for gosh sakes. It was ridiculous. All right. Well, there you go. That was the Houston Texans and the Green Bay Packers. I'm just looking here to see who the where's my schedule? Who the Texans have got this week? Houston will be at Indianapolis this weekend. Houston is going to Indianapolis. Brandon, what do you think the line is on that game?
What's that?
Houston is going to Indianapolis this weekend. What do you think the line is on that game?
Well, it's going to be close because they're both 6-6. It's going to add some clarity to the AFC South. I guess the home team's probably, 2-point, 3-point favorite?
By six.
I don't think I agree with that. They're getting way too much credit for the pounding they gave the Jets last night.
Wow.
I don't think that's I don't agree with that at all. I would take Texans into points all day on that. At that line.
Let's see if that line comes down. We'll watch. I'll keep my eye on that one through tomorrow and see if that line starts to drop. Because as you point out, that's obviously that's an early line because the Colts just played last night. But I would agree with you. That line looks a little high in favor of the Colts. I don't know. Wow. Interesting because I'm going to tell you, I kind of think that the Colts could sneak in there and take that division. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, they probably should. They probably should. I would agree with you. But, you know, every time they look like they're starting to turn the corner, they kind of end up going the other way.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, when it comes right down to it, Houston has been the better team in that division all season long. So I don't know. I don't know if I would necessarily say that Indianapolis should win that division. I'm saying I think they could sneak in and take it away from Houston. That's what I think.
You could be right, and I'm not going to disagree with that.
There's another game, though.
A potential.
There's another game where both teams have playoff relevance. I didn't throw that one into the mix. All right. Both teams, six-point line.
I don't think we'd want to mess with that.
I don't know. Both teams are division. They're tied for the division. That's.
Yeah, but right. I don't see a way that both of them end up in the playoffs. Some of the other games, like the Giants and Cowboys and the Patriots and Ravens, I think you could see both those teams end up in the playoffs. You know, after that game. No, I don't see. You know what I mean? I think they're both more solid teams than what, you know. Nobody in the AFC South scares me. I don't look at any of those teams and say, oh wow, yeah, they're gonna make noise in the playoffs. They're gonna make enough noise to be one and done. You know, that's the long and short of it.
Mm-hmm.
From the way I see that division, I'm sorry, I can't manufacture, you know, something I don't see.
Enthusiasm, I understand.
Yeah. The Colts have a lot of holes, and I don't think the Texans' offense is anywhere near where it needs to be. I think the Texans have a fairly decent defense, but you know, I don't think when it comes right down to it, the offense is ready. They need a few more pieces around Osweiler, and you know, maybe Osweiler needs another year in the system. I don't know.
Oh, and there are a lot of people down there in that Houston market that are really questioning the wisdom of signing Osweiler to that big, enormous contract they did. I don't blame them for questioning it.
Well, of course.
I was questioning it, that's for sure.
Well, certainly you have to question it at this point, especially with the results that have been put up so far. You know, I don't know. But so there was something, clearly there was something, you know, Elway wasn't jumping up and down with to keep him. So
exactly.
John Elway, you know, out of that whole situation came out looking pretty good when it comes right down to it. You know what I mean? I think in the long run, they made pretty good calls. I think between Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lewis, I think they're going to, one of them is going to end up being the quarterback for that team, you know, for the next, I don't know, whatever, 10, 12 years. And, you know, I think they'll do all right. I like the way the Broncos are made up. I think they play pretty good. You know, obviously they play good defense, and you know they don't make mistakes on the other side. So,
you know, you're just bringing up that game, that Denver game. I just want to flip over to that real quick here for a minute.
Sure.
I had not had a chance to take a look at the stats for Paxton Lynch, who started that game. Paxton Lynch, and Denver won that game against Jacksonville. It's against Jacksonville, mind you. But it was on the road. They were on the road in Jacksonville. Denver won it 20-10. Paxton Lynch was 12 of 24 for 104 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 61.8 passer rating. There was a defensive TD in the game, and we had a rushing TD from Devontae Booker, had a rushing TD. And I there must have been, was there a special teams TD? Just curious. I'm not seeing a defense. I'm not seeing a, wow, I'm not seeing one. Two other field goals. So two field goals by Denver. Yeah, that's it. Two field goals by Denver. Devontae Booker and a defensive touchdown. So I was just curious what the numbers were for Paxton Lynch. I like Paxton Lynch. I liked what I saw of him. We did not get a chance to see that Denver game. I like Paxton Lynch. I like what I saw, what we have seen of him through preseason and in that one game where he came in. I think that was a game he came in for Trevor Siemian, wasn't it? Or was that a whole game that he played?
Well, I think he came in for one and then played the next. So
played the next, okay. So
yeah, I think we saw like a game and a half or so.
This was
or
the second
game and a
game.
Piece of another one.
This would have been the second game then that Paxton Lynch has actually started. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like him. I really do. I like Paxton. In fact, Paxton Lynch and Dak Prescott were my two favorite quarterbacks coming into this draft, coming out of the draft, the most recent draft. All right, I'm going to give you your chance to, if you care to, go in, weigh in on the Miami Dolphins, who got absolutely lambasted by the Baltimore Ravens last week, 38-6. And it was a week ago we were actually saying, well, Miami Dolphins, my gosh, they're in, they're being talked about for playoffs. And had the season ended last week, in fact, the Dolphins would have been one of the two wildcard teams. Well, they're not as of this moment, but they're still 7-5 despite losing the game badly as they did 38-6. Joe Flacco, look at these numbers for Flacco. Holy smokes, 36 of 47, 381 yards, four touchdowns, one interception, and a 119.2 passer rating. He had a rushing touchdown from Terrence West, two touchdowns through the air from Dennis Pitta. Breshad Perriman had a touchdown and a second through the air for Terrence West. So Terrence West actually had two touchdowns. Wow. Ryan Tannehill, 29 of 40, 226 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions, 63.1 passer rating. Are we sticking a fork in Miami yet, or what?
I think there's enough other good teams in the AFC that you almost have to. I mean, you got Baltimore and Pittsburgh that are at the same record. You got the three of the AFC West teams. I think all those teams are better than Miami. So they're clearly not going to catch the Patriots at this point. So. Yeah, I think you almost have to. I mean, did Baltimore expose, Miami had won a few games in a row, but their competition that they won it against was was not all that. I wonder if Baltimore kind of exposed, some of those, at least, that they weren't all that, That the Dolphins weren't as good as those wins were showing, You put Miami against a solid team like the Ravens, and the Ravens just crushed them. So, it's tough for me because, I never have anything good to say about Miami.
No, exactly.
I still really don't. And
well,
doesn't change that.
Yeah. Here's part of the problem in this game. First of all, Miami's going into Baltimore. And Baltimore's got the number one defense in the entire league. And when you talk about exposing Miami, Well, perhaps maybe what you did was you exposed the fact that they're, I guess, maybe not offensively as good a team as everybody thinks they are. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
I would agree
when
with
it
that.
Comes right, when it comes right down to it, I mean, you know, I finally have had to admit it. I mean, I was a Ryan Tannehill fan when he was drafted, when he came into the league. I was a Ryan Tannehill fan. But in recent years, recent seasons, I think what Ryan Tannehill has shown me and probably a lot of other people is that he is a mid-pack quarterback. That's what he is. You can tread water with Ryan Tannehill. That's about what you're going to do with Ryan Tannehill.
He'd be a solid backup off the bench. That's probably
is
what,
he worth,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, is he worth the money that they're paying him? Hell no.
No. No. Three interceptions? No.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, you know, I'm looking down at his receivers that he had available or that at least that he targeted this past Sunday, and there's not a hell of a lot there with the exception of Jarvis Landry. So, and their new running back, Jay Ajayi, he's a rookie, so you know you got to give him a little bit of time yet. So, I mean, did Miami get exposed? I think they got exposed to the extent that, listen, Ryan Tannehill puts up tremendous yardage numbers. It's absolutely incredible. In fact, I was just going to look at the list. I'm sure he's probably in the top. Is he in the top five again this year? He's generally, a lot of times he's in the top five in yardage. Where is he? Holy smokes. For the,
not in the top five.
Wait a minute. Why am I not? Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Derek. Where is Ryan Tannehill? Oh boy. Well, he's number 20th.
Oh,
he's
there you 20th go.
20th this year in yardage. Well, there have been seasons where he was in the top five in yardage. I can see what you're talking about. Did they get exposed? Yeah, they got exposed from the standpoint that, you know, not quite the offensive power that they were yet. You might be right. I mean, as far as a wild card team, you know, you got two teams still over there. We've already talked about it. You got two teams over there in the AFC West that are, we've already talked about it, better. For gosh sakes, one of both of these guys, either Baltimore or Pittsburgh, both of those
yep.
teams are better. So, you know, yeah.
I would venture to guess you could almost make an argument that the Colts or Texans might be better, when it's sudden, even though the records aren't there yet. Miami, I don't know. We'll see. Let's see how it shakes out. I don't think you're going to see Miami, you know, in it much longer. In other words, they're just about on the last leg, as they say.
It will be curious to hear if we hear again any time between now and the remainder of the season, if we hear, as we did last week, the Dolphins have put themselves in wild card position, as we did last week. I'll be curious to hear that. This week, Miami will be hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Want to take a guess on that line?
Wow. Yeah. That's a tough one. I gotta think, you know, Miami's probably favored, just because they're at home, but I don't think it's a big line. I would think it's probably 2 for Miami.
Very good. 1.5.
There
Miami
go.
Favored by 1.5 at home.
Yeah, all right. I should be a lines maker. Maybe not.
Yeah, really?
Maybe not. I'm just thinking, I mean, Arizona's been struggling, obviously, you know. I think a lot of people thought they were going to be better than they were. You know, Miami has a better record. They're at home. But I think, you know, obviously if it be it only 2 or 1.5, as you said, it's not the 3 points for the home team. So, you know, neutral site, they're looking at the Cardinals as being a better team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about the way I figured it. That's why I came up with 2. So I was, you know, as you said, I was pretty close.
Yep. All right. This might be the last one we get a chance to take a look at real quick. The Pittsburgh Steelers took care of the New York Giants last week, 24-14. Ben Roethlisberger was 24-36 for 289 yards. Two touchdowns, one interception, 98.0 passer rating. Eli Manning was 24-39 for 195. Two touchdowns and 2 interceptions. This Giants team just does not have any ground game at all. I mean, you know, I don't know what they're – I really don't know what they're doing, because Rashad Jennings, to me, is not a bad running back. They just – it seems like they're constantly going away from the ground game altogether. They just McAdoo just doesn't like to use it or something. I don't get it. Jennings had 19 yards. We heard about Paul Perkins a couple of weeks ago. McAdoo said that they were going to be going carries would be split almost evenly between Jennings and Perkins. Well, that's true. They were the other day. Jennings had a whopping total of 6 carries, and Perkins had 7. Wow. I don't know what the Giants are doing, honest to God. Maybe it's a – here we go again. Maybe it was a situation where they found out early on, we can't run on this Pittsburgh Steelers team. We just can't run on them. So – put the ball in the air 39 times. On the other hand, Pittsburgh had absolutely no trouble running on the New York Giants. Le'Veon Bell carried the ball 29 times for 118 yards. Le'Veon Bell also had 6 receptions for 64 yards. Had himself another 180 yards, thereabouts, all-purpose yards. So, insane. Question for you, though, Brandon. New York Giants, 8-4. You know, I asked it at the top of the program. Might sound like a stupid rhetorical question. The question I said was, are the New York Giants really an 8-4 team? And, of course, you know, all my Giant friends would come back and go, yeah, what's the matter with you, Mike? What are you, an idiot? Of course they're an 8-4 team. They're 8-4. Yeah, but I think you know what I mean. Are they really an 8-4 team? When you look at the New York Giants, do you get the same impression of them that you do of, say, the Seattle Seahawks or the Denver Broncos or the Kansas City Chiefs?
Nope.
Exactly.
No, I judge the Giants. Yeah, the Giants are not that good when it comes right down to it. I think every team you mentioned there, I think, is better than the Giants. So yeah, I agree with you. They don't look like an 8-4 team. They really don't. But you know, the other side of that argument, they found a way to win 8 games. So I don't know. It's always tough, you know. Because everybody always says, look at the record. But, you know,
but
I don't see the Giants as a team that's going to make a lot of noise.
There's the other component to it. See, you could say, look at the record, but then one of the other things that comes into play is the eye test. And the eye test, when I'm seeing this Giants team, and I'm seeing receivers left and right dropping balls, or I see Eli overthrowing them, or I look at a ground game that they just can't seem to get going, or I see a defense that just can't seem to stop anybody, I'm looking at them going, listen, you're 8-4 because you got lucky. I mean, seriously. You know, I'd have to go through each and every one of their wins and their entire schedule, but I'm going to bet you they got lucky.
They certainly did week 1 against Dallas.
Yeah,
remember,
we know that.
We've beat that game to death, you know, because, you know, that game really is the difference between Dallas being, you know, undefeated and, you know, 11-1. And, you know, I think the Giants definitely got the benefit of some, you know, not thinking receivers at the end of that game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would agree. There's probably another game or two you could probably point to in that eight that, you know, they won it, but they shouldn't have won it, or the other team lost as opposed to the Giants winning. You know what I mean?
I absolutely.
Even though, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I said, I would have to sit and I would have to look at every single one of their wins and losses. But I'll bet you, of their eight wins, there are at least two, maybe three, that you could look at and say, okay, those were luck wins. That's what they were luck wins. Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm just looking at my list here, and because we've got about 2.5 minutes here remaining in the program. I'm just looking at my list here, and I said, well, we would talk about we would mention all 15 teams that were either winners or losers in last week's matchups that were playoff relevant. And I think there was only one we didn't mention. So let me mention them right now. Cincinnati Bengals. All right, there you go. I mentioned them. Cincinnati Bengals.
That's a stretch.
Is that a stretch? I'm sorry.
I would even call that a stretch that they're even in the playoff conversation. Sorry.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I wrote that wrong. Why do I have them on the list?
There's been 4-7-1 without A.J. Green and Giovanni
Bernard. Why do I even have them on the list?
They are
I don't know
long
why.
Done.
Yeah, I don't know why I have them on the list.
I wouldn't. They're preparing
that,
for the
draft. That had to be a mistake. That had to be a mistake. There was somebody else I probably wanted to write in there that I didn't mention. Oh gosh. Well, I don't
we
have enough time
did.
To go back. I probably
we
don't.
Probably
have, I don't
did.
Have enough. I don't have
I
enough time
did.
To go back and research.
We probably mentioned them because we talked about everybody who.
It
you know,
had to be
relevant.
Another B team. It had to be another B team.
Yeah.
That I
Maybe
probably
Titans,
didn't mention.
Is the Titans on the list from Tennessee? Are they on the list? Because they're
no, I didn't mention. No,
South.
I didn't put. The Titans aren't on that list. Maybe
that's
it was
who
Titans.
Should be on.
All right,
yeah,
anyhow,
that's who
there
should
you
be
go.
On instead.
All right, there you go. All right, too much fun tonight. listen, turn around and have fun with us. We'll on Thursday night as well, because we'll be back here with you on Thursday night with our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. We'll be back here at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We'll go for a full 2 hours that night. Myself and Psychic and Brandon and Matt DeBios will be jumping in with us, and we'll get into a whole bunch of things on that one, you can bet. That'll be number 273 coming to you on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time right here. I'll be back here with you on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for another relaxed Frat House Saturday program, as we will be getting ready for, well, I don't know what. I guess basically just a holiday, a little tree trimming, Army-Navy game, you know, that sort of thing. So if you want to chill and relax with me on a Saturday, that's the time to do it. All right, there you go. There's our lineup for this week. Many thanks to everybody that's been listening in. And, hey, get out there and enjoy all your sports.